out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moving Forward. Delighted to be together today, and we have a lot of rich, interesting topics that we are going to be exploring, discussing, engaging in. So please, please keep the emails coming and also the phone calls and the questions and the shared stories and the comments. So appreciate it. We just have this amazing community. There's a couple things I want to mention prior to kicking off for today. And one of those is if you have not registered yet, there is an opportunity still to register for, I believe there's still space. It's limited space, but it's free, and it's a really smart use and investment of your time. On this Friday morning, that I'm dating the show, that would be September 13th, at the Biltmore Hotel in Miami, Miami's Economic Wave of Opportunity, discussing the $33 billion coming, identified to come into the South Florida, Miami economy over the next 10 years, the 55,000, no, what is it? I forget the exact number. I mean, the number of new jobs averaging about 55K a year, just extraordinary. This particular conference, I'm one of the panelists, and I'm speaking on, you got to love this, I'm speaking on, I believe, like global trends, business strategy, business models a bit, funding, and I've got 15 minutes, right? So it'll be an interesting conversation. But something they're doing, which is so great, is they have a hot seat, and companies submitted questionnaires, responded to questionnaires, and they're doing a drawing. And literally one of the companies that submitted an interest, their company is going to be picked, and all the panelists are going to work with that company in front of everyone for part of the morning. And it's going to be a really, really stellar opportunity, not just for connections, but to get some really good information and meet some people who are not just on the sidelines, but people who are interested and engaged and have resources and can make things happen. So if you can get to the South Florida, to Miami, which is not a bad place to get to, or you're in Florida or local, certainly go to the Miami Growth Advisors, and register. Or you can always email Jen at jensabin.com, J-E-N-N at jensabin.com, and myself or one of the team will get back to you with all the information. And again, that's going to be happening this Friday morning in South Florida at the Biltmore Hotel in Miami, so it's a lovely venue as well. Well, enough said there. There's something I want to mention, and it's quintessential Jen. And that is recently one of the global managing directors at McKinsey, who I admire, respect, brilliant man, was talking about the corporate focus on short-term results and how boards impact companies and investment decisions. And sometimes, are you ever just incredulous and fascinated by how the obvious gets stated? Does anyone remember the Sony Walkman? Now, I could be dating myself because we live in a different world, but I remember when, oh my gosh, Sony Walkmans came out and the huge, huge impact they had, those little yellow boxes, and then, you know, that, and then you could put cassette tapes in them, and then there was the Sony Walkman with the radios, and I remember, as you know, a runner running through Central Park and having this, you know, thing strapped to my arm in terms of, you know, being able to listen to music and how extraordinary that was and the revenue that was generated for Sony. Well, for those of us in the business community, we were very aware that there were U.S. companies that had the opportunity and had access to that technology and that merchandise and chose not to do it, not to take the action because they couldn't justify the short-term risk, the short-term – they, in other words, they had to be accountable to their shareholders in terms of – and the street. When I say the street, I mean Wall Street and the analysts in terms of their quarterly returns and what the stock price and the impact and influence that has on their organization. Now, having been a member of the stock exchange for 20 years and had a firm on Wall Street for many years, you know – one thing I can tell you is what a stock is trading at day to day, you know, and if you're – its relationship to the company's value often is inequivalent. So what do I mean by that? I'm looking for my words. So a company can be trading at X, and that does not mean that the company is – value is X. What that means is that's what someone is willing to pay for or to invest, so to speak, what a piece of that company is worth at that given moment. And that's based on pure supply demand. It's based on, there's a lot of variables that go into it, but consider this. Let's say you go into a showroom tomorrow and you buy a car, a brand new car. Let's say it is a $25,000 car, I'm using U.S. dollars, or a $130,000 car, and something happens and you realize that you need to sell the car. Perhaps it's not for bad reasons, but something happens, you need to sell the car. So let's say somebody says to you, I'll give you $10,000 for that $25,000 car. That's what that car is worth. It may have a higher value, but it's worth, it's what it's worth that day is $10,000. The $130,000 car that you paid for on Thursday, and now it's the following Wednesday, and someone says, I'll give you $50,000 cash for it. And you're like, but I just paid $130,000. This car is definitely worth $130,000. No, it's only worth $50,000 because that's what someone's willing to pay. Its value may be $130,000, but in terms of what it's worth. So I'm just pointing to that, right? So now in terms of companies, this is a huge deal. This impacts so much as publicly traded companies. But I just want everyone to get like the disconnect that's going on. And this has nothing to do with program trading and industry sectors. I'm not going into that piece. So here we have this brilliant man having a discussion about the what short-term focus, what or the focus on short-term results implies and means and the challenges and how it ties up and restricts the potential growth for an enterprise. Well, what a shocker. What a shocker. So what I'm interested in and what I want for our community to be interested is not stating the obvious, but is getting to the other side of, okay, so if this is the case, what needs to be done? How do we go about this? So there's an undercurrent here because a lot of things that you and I that we deal with in our business – from the outside looking in, it's obvious. We know that. We knew it about other things. We've commented on it before, and yet we find ourselves immersed in it. So how do we do something different? How do we not become masters of the obvious and fall into that trap? How do we become about the solution and not the problem? Well, the first thing is actually to be standing in the solution and not the problem. What so many of us do is we stand in the problem. We talk about the problem. And it's like talking about a chair. We're not necessarily standing in the solution of something and talking about options, possibilities, innovation. We're not doing that. What we're doing is continually talking about the problem, and it's good to get to the source of the problem if you can, but most people don't get the source. They just get the symptoms, right? Now, this show, our show and our community is primarily small business, mid-sized business, right? So this is a very corporate dynamic. But for many of us, you know, there's just gold here, and I find it fascinating. So when I see things like this and it strikes me as a doip, like a, okay, Captain Obvious, right? Once again, I'm dating myself. When that happens, I look and say, okay, so I notice that I personally am having a huge judgment around this. Like, I'm being pretty nasty, right? Like, oh, that's obvious. So let me take a moment and look in my own enterprise and see where I may be doing something very similar. Where am I so caught up in short-term results? Or I know I have accounts payable and I'm not managing things to do some real digging deep in terms of being strategic, building reserves, making sure that if I've got a long-term plan and strategy that I've taken everything into account and I can implement, and I don't have to worry about in 90 days justifying that quarterly, you know, that return to shareholders, but I do need to know my numbers and I do need to know that piece. Now, one of the fascinating things about what's happening in South Miami and where this can all dovetail together is Jody Johnson, she kind of called this corps d'esprit together. She's been on a guest of ours. 24 months before the port of Miami, which is the catalyst to this, is supposed to, you know, commence, like, that everything's supposed to kick off. And she wanted the small businesses, because the big guys already have their fingers in the pie. And if you look around from China to U.S. multinationals, to Canada, they're already positioning themselves to be able to capitalize on this, not just the Latin American community. But we're going into the Pacific Rim. We're looking at where people are really carving up the city and where investment is going. So what was going on was saying, okay, as a small business, you've got 24 months to ramp up. You've got industry coming in. You've got import-export. How can your business take advantage of this? But this is for most small businesses, 24 months is a huge strategic initiative. But there are so many ways it can be parlayed. There are so many ways that this could be done. Well, you know what? I have a childcare business, so this doesn't really impact me. Oh my gosh, one of the top 10 law firms is opening up offices down here. And then we have another, there are several other organizations. Who are the companies that do their daycare providing? Do they have a company that they're using corporate? Do they do in-house? That means a lot of working professionals. Can I contact their HR department and offer something? Can I create a shuttle that transports the kids to the offices and back? Like, is this an opportunity, even though I have nothing to do with import, export, or the port? It's about really getting strategic and thinking long-term and positioning yourself in a different way. And there might be some investment of capital, and that's usually what trips up the boards that they're talking about, the investment. And the longer you go out, the more risk and variables can come into effect, right? If I'm supposed to buy a house next week, that's very different than if I'm supposed to close 6 months from now. Right? A lot more opportunity. The longer the road, the opportunity for different type of variables and influences. So that was just something that struck me, that interview, that piece. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I love this, did anyone hear about the attorney who's left a $200,000, was it a Lamborghini or a Ferrari? Was it a Lamborghini? In a flooded street, left it there so that they could get to a court appearance on time. A $200,000 vehicle, maybe that's why I had that car analogy, that they abandoned it. They literally left it solo in the street to do what they had to do. And if you saw a picture, if anyone saw a picture of it, it was like up above the windows, the water. And what was interesting was, yes, it was insured. However, from what I understand, in appreciation, I would say, for the great PR, I believe it was Ferrari or Lamborghini. So whichever, I apologize, I'm not a car aficionado, and I'm probably grossly misquoting the story. But due to the PR, they gave this attorney a great deal, like one that he could not pass up on a new vehicle. So, you know, at the time when this person was doing this, I'm sure they weren't thinking about PR or this or that or the potential of the new car. Just to notice that what happens when you really honor your word and keep your commitments. Isn't that exquisite? Think about it. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, and you honor your word and your commitments, and things that, and even though it seems like I am a fool, I should stay here, deal with this, you know, they'll understand, I'll organize, I'll get, no, that trumps this. This is materialistic. This, the other is a client at somebody's life, at somebody's situation or whatever. So I just love that. And, you know, please keep the stories and these type of things coming, because they're just great. When we get back, we're going to talk a bit about business models and strategy and, you know, where my heart is, positive cash flow. We're going to go to break. And as I mentioned, when we come back, we're going to start talking about your business model, and some ways to get in touch with some positive cash flow when we return.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel, or listen on demand to our archived shows.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today.
please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hi, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jen Sabin, and this is Moving Forward. And before we went to break, I said we were going to talk a bit about business models and positive cash flow. So if we were to start at a very top level, you know, top level, and I believe it was Richard Branson, and I love this quote. He said, complexity is your enemy. Any fool can make something complicated. It's hard to make something simple. And I want to take a moment, and I'm going to dovetail or add on to what Branson said. And think about it. To make something simple means you need to be able to deconstruct it to a way that you could communicate its core elements, right? Can you explain something to a child? In order to explain something and make it simple, you have to really be able to take something to its core or unassemble the different parts of it and find the language and the way to communicate it or to experience or to view it or address it or whatever it is in a way that you're not getting caught up in the muck and the mire of it. Now, there are things that are complicated, and at their core, they're simple, right? Everything has a place where it begins. So with that being said, let's talk about a business model. Oh my, I just got a notice here, and I just want everyone to know it was a Ferrari. Thank you, Jack. It was a Ferrari. The lawyer abandoned the $200,000 Ferrari. I was saying Lamborghini, but I was just informed that it was a Ferrari. Okay, so thank you. Just an aside, right? So let's talk about business models. And this is key. So what is a business model? I'd offer, from like the Gen definition, this might not be if you went to Eaton or, you know, if you went to, which I did go to study that, Wharton or London School of Economics. This might not be their definition. I would say your business model at its core is how your business makes money. Is how your business makes money. Well, most of us don't start off at that place. And this, I have to tell you, was one of those things that was a shock to me. I mean a shock, because I always looked at things in terms of business models. I am a business creative, a bit of a mad scientist, but one of the things which was not even distinguished to me, which it never even occurred to me that I did because it was so natural and it was how I viewed the world, like blinking, is that I always look at a business model, and that's the place I begin. You know, they say people, product, and process, and those are key. That was within the context of what's the business model? Now, most of my clients and most people I know, I discovered, not like my discovery, but I'm speaking, you know, so this is where it's relevant, never really take time or discern or understand the business model. What they're focused on is the product or service. They're focused on the environment, which is important. They're look at like what's successful, what works, what doesn't work. They often build, you know, they're building a business around maybe a product or a skill set, depending on the actual nature of the product or service, whether it's an asset or a service, etc. But that's where the research really is. And the question that isn't always on the table in at the initial part, and I meet with companies that are very successful. So this isn't about tripping up companies that, you know, are struggling. But one of the things that we want to consider, and when I use the word but, that's always like a smoke alarm, is how do you make your money? I talked about positive cash flow before. So how do you make your money? where does your money come from? Now, there's so many great stories about how companies were not successful and then they changed the source of where they make their money. I think, is it Nespresso is a great one. I've mentioned it a couple times, but maybe we have some listeners who weren't here. Just bottom line, originally Nespresso was, you know, targeting the corporate market, losing money hand over fist. Now, for everyone, just recognize this is like the Cliff Notes version. So if you're familiar with it, I am skipping over a lot. So they were losing money. They were going to scrap the brand. And then they decided to re-engineer how they make their money. Same product, but creating a different business model. So what they started doing was rather than going corporate, doing the business sale, et cetera, they decided to sell the coffee maker in retail establishments all over in the United States. That may be a Bed Bath and Beyond, and you know, I don't know if they're Williams Sonoma, but those type of stores, Aunt Macy's, department stores, etc. So they're selling the coffee maker with whatever initial packets it comes with. So that is a wholesale. It's a B2B, right? And so in other words, they're wholesaling it. So their margins are very slim. If I'm selling, if I make a shirt and I sell it to you or I sell it to a store to sell it, if I sell it directly to you, the consumer, I'm making more money. There's more gross profit in there than if I am selling it via consumer. So in other words, typically when Costco sells merchandise, the provider to Costco of whatever that particular product is working on very narrow margins. Okay? Very narrow margins. They're doing quantity. It's great for most businesses. Some businesses, it blows them out of the water because they don't know their numbers. But very narrow margins. So Nespresso sells it through the retail chains to the consumers, retails it. But if you want to buy those cups that have the coffee, and remember, it's a good quality product. It's in an environment where this is a trend. There's other factors going on. However, remember, they were losing money hand over fist. They decide to have this different business model in terms of how they make their money. So what they did is if you wanted the refills, and people love the coffee, it was more expensive than buying coffee in through other mediums. People love the coffee. You went online or did whatever, and you ordered it directly from them. So they were – there was no middleman. It was a – from Nespresso to the end user. Highest potential gross margins for that type of product. Pardon me. In addition – that sounded lovely, didn't it? I apologize. I've got a cold. In addition, they have a patent on it. So no one else could come in without patent infringement and say, hey, we're doing this. But as we know, patents do expire, and then there's a point at which it becomes, you know, open season. But think about this. They created I don't have the exact numbers of me, but they went from something they were going to scrap that was – they were basically hemorrhaging funds completely at a loss to, with this new model, becoming a extremely profitable division of the enterprise. Extremely profitable. Same product, different business model. Okay, so how does your business make its money? Now, think about it. Xerox, right? My firm, it's a service professional firm, right? We're not selling, we're not manufacturing, we're not doing that. It's a service professional firm. So we're actually eligible. We have not done this, but we're eligible. We qualify for a free printer from Xerox. Now, you know, we don't do a great deal enough. We handle it differently. But the printer is free. Now, it would be free and seriously great, great quality prints. You pay for the ink. You buy ink monthly, a lot of ink. And if you're a big business, a lot of ink. And it's so profitable that they let, like, I know peer companies where when the contract was up, they said, keep the printer and we'll even give you a new one. Keep the old one, we'll give you a new one. Because you need to use our ink to print. And they make so much money that it more than offsets. Now, I don't know this in detail, so I can't speak to this in terms of this is the fact. But it's been told to me, listen to this, it's been told to me, I put my hand up beside my mouth, like I'm, you know, this is a secret. It has been told to me, and I don't have the facts around this, that Costco on its membership dues breaks even. Their membership dues, the paying to be a member of Costco, takes care of their fixed overhead. And everything else is pretty much where you get into the gravy. Is this true? I have no idea. But it would make sense as a business model. What you have is a membership-based enterprise where the membership dues and fees take care of, get you beyond break-even. Makes absolute sense, and everything else is like a variable, and you're getting into it. It takes care of the cost of goods and most of the cost of services. Not bad. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? So let's take a moment and consider, how does your business make money? And one thing it's an exercise I do with all my clients, if you, given your current structures and systems and products and target clients, if you were operating at 100%, if you maxed out, how much money could you potentially make? So if you're a service professional and this is your team and everyone was billing at the max and working the maximum amount of time, how much money can you make? Is there any room for scalability? Is there a way to create bandwidth? Oh, we just bring in more. But maybe there's a different business model. Maybe rather than hourly billing, it should be retainer billing. I mean, I'm just playing here. But when's the last time that you thought about this in your business? Your business model, where you make your money. Where do you make your money? In a restaurant. Do you know, you really have to know your numbers to be able to do this. You really have to know, you know what? We make our money on repeat business. The third, we need someone to utilize our product 3 times, or we make our money in this region, or it has you begin to look at it and play with it. And I keep using this word play to consider, to think, to come up with scenarios, to create your own case studies, to look at, okay, is this the best business model? Is there something we can license? Is there something that's scalable that we're not even interacting with as scalable? Is there a way? I was talking with a client and listen to me, I was talking with a client. I'm like, it's such a big deal. I was talking with this client. And one of the things that he mentioned that I think is really kind of interesting and neat and valuable is he was talking about their business model. And I realized, giving Richard Branson's quote, they were taking something that was an expensive sale, but it was a pretty simple sale, and they were adding a component to it that what it did was it made it very, very compelling, but it made it a complex sale. It made it a complex sale. So they took the simplicity of the sale and they made it complex. So they added this piece that could potentially be of real value, but that piece requires a change in another vendor. So all of a sudden, it means there's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of infrastructure. Now, it represents seven figures in realized bottom line savings. So it's we're talking multi-millions. However, the lead-in is an easy no-brainer six-figure product, you know, for their target market. So what they're doing is they've got this piece that's kind of simple and kind of easy and no-brainer that is a harder sale. But the way they have it set up is they've got to agree to all of it before they go in. So the question was, how do they make their money? They don't make their money off of that piece. They make their money off the other piece. The piece where, you know, the six-figure piece. The added value is the other piece. But what it's doing is it's taking a simple sale and making it a very complex sale. So what do they need to do to get in the door and have that piece be the after the fact? So that they can close the sale and then integrate this other piece versus integrating it up front, which means buy-in, which takes something that could be a 30 to 60 day sales cycle and makes it literally a 90 to 180 day, you know, sales cycle. So this is just one particular example, and I might be like, and some of you might be like, all right, Jen, come back to us. But what is your business model? How do you make your money? Do you know your numbers? And if you don't, like, this all sounds good, and guess what? I don't have the bandwidth, I don't have the time, I don't have the space for this, then carve out an executive retreat, hire someone to come in, go to your local SCORE, SBDC, you know, talk to some other businesses that aren't necessarily competitors of yours and bring someone in and collectively retain them to amortize the cost off, who can, you know, find a really, really good accounting firm who can run some, you know, reports for you. Like, this doesn't have to be something where you or I get in the way of it happening. Right? Because what we're really talking about is what is possible for your business and where it might be stuck or stymied and you don't even know it, or where you're not even expanding the capacities that wouldn't take much of a big deal. I mean, think of Nespresso. Think of Xerox. You know, what makes the most sense for you and your business? So we're talking about business models. And this may not be the way you think about your business. This may not be the way you look at your business. When we come back, I'm going to just share, like, what are some of the highlights of the main business models and some other things to be aware of. That'll be when we come back. But stay tuned, because this is about your business, your positive cash flow, and we want to make it happen.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you a decision maker in your organization, a mid-level manager, or a team member? Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with host Kimberly Stewart is a program designed to provide you with tidbits and tools you need to achieve results no matter where you are in your organizational structure. Interaction is key, and you'll have opportunities to share your ideas, comments, and questions. Listen to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Did you know that at the root of every business problem lies a communication issue? Communication Nation, a show that brings effective business communication practices to the masses, addresses a number of topics and talking points that impact your professional development, as well as business productivity and profitability. Host Jill Schiffelbein makes the theoretical tangible. Tune in each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be ready to become a better communicator with Communication Nation.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everyone. So we were just talking about business models, and you heard me at the end go off on my tangent, but this stuff is just, it's incredible. So we started off with Branson talking about making the complex simple. Now, here's the whole thing with business models, you know, and there's a lot of definitions. Mine is just simple as could be, how does your business make money? You know, for some people, they talk about how it delivers value and makes money. But at the end of the day, the business model for me and for our conversation is, how does your business make money? Do you know? Do you know the most it can make? Do you know your numbers? You might know your product. You might know your team. Do you know your numbers, your business numbers? Now, there are – the whole thing, though, with business models is this is really about, in some ways, brainstorming. As I mentioned before, if the numbers part is tripping you up, brainstorm about your business. Get your team together. Get some other people. Get your mentors, your advisors, you know, whoever it is. Because if you don't revisit it, there's a difference between being kind of old school and generating a profit and being old school in the sense that you've created something that's so antiquated that you're atrophying and you're losing market share and you're losing repeat business and you become the occasional purchase or whatever it may be. So this really is about the health and the vitality of your business. Because let's face it, in most businesses, right, there's a different stages. But first of all, there's when you start your business. And then you ideally are working to get, you're putting in a lot of energy, a lot of effort. It's kind of like planting seeds. How trite that sounds. If someone said that, you know, in the early days, that made me cringe. But it's, we know it's true. We just don't necessarily want to hear it. You know, you plant all these seeds and not all of them grow, but it takes so much effort and na-na-na-na-na. So here's the deal. You're starting. It's intense, right? There's a lot more effort necessarily than for what you're seeing in terms of consistent results. You may be seeing results and yay, but consistent results. And then you create this momentum. And then you're also looking to put in a, you know, make sure there's a floor, there's a foundation under that. So you might notice that there's then predictable numbers. You've reached a place of stabilizing, and here's something that's going to happen. Either you're going to slow down or you're going to continue to build. Flat line is the same as slowing down. So there's a point at which you need to interact with your business like you just bought the darn thing. Like in some ways, you're looking at it anew. Right? That you're not the coming in with those words that are, you know, a like the Grim Reaper showed up for the business, you know, I know, or this is how we've always done it, or I know this is what works. There's a difference between I know this is what works in terms of gut, in terms of instinct, in terms of being present, versus I know what works because don't even bother me because this is the way we've always done it. And there's also a component of ego in there. The difference between ego and confidence. So at the end of the day, there's something here. And this isn't an easy conversation, right? And this isn't me tying this up in a neat little ribbon and making it all pretty. I got to tell you, this is, can be really engaging and give you a lot of energy. And this is treacherous waters. This is kind of swinging out on a limb. This is about real growth for your business. This is about, in some ways, letting go. And that's not easy, and it's not comfortable. And I will tell you, this is where so many businesses begin to tighten the reins and atrophy. And because you're not looking over there in terms of replicating necessarily what they're doing, you're really looking at from your vantage point. And that's not simple. But I want to share with you, and this is some kind of like, this isn't experience stuff. This is kind of like formal stuff. And I'm not, you know, a big advocate of the formal stuff, because I could sit here and tell you the 10 most important things, But at the end of the day, we each have our own story. We each have our own situation. And the thing that we share is we want to essentially, and I'm making a bold presumption here, have a great product or service, enjoy it all, have a great team, great client. Like, there's this place around excellence, and included in all that is certainly profitability, positive cash flow, right? So there are certain core things, like that's just how it is. So if you're looking at your business model and you're thinking about it, here are some things to consider that in terms of What segment are you serving? So in other words, who's your customer? And you don't want to just gloss over this. You really want to get this, because for some of you, it's more general. It's more macro. For some of you, it's very, very specific. It's very specific. And this is regardless of if you're in manufacturing, if you're B2B, if you're, you know, whatever it is. It's what is the customer segment? And, you know, the value proposition, that could sound like such jargon. But get out of, first of all, there's what you perceive as it. And then you want to get out of your space and get into their world and understand what they see as it and the stuff that they don't even know. I had a client talk to me about something that their product did in terms of mitigating potential liability from the kind of, it would be like for a restaurant, for example, it mitigated some type of liability from a health inspector or something like that, that there are certain governing laws that are new and this mitigated liability. And my client said, well, you know, they're not really aware of this because there's all this other added value. They're not aware of this. I'm like, and educate them, create that sense of urgency. If they, you know, they may know it or they may not know it, or it may not be on the radar screen, but you want to make sure that they're aware that this handles that and they don't even have their attention on that. And that could, you know, this is still a sale. It's still a sale. Does everyone in, perhaps in North America, you might be familiar with this product, Head and Shoulders? It was a dandruff thing. That little itch might be telling you something. They created a perception that if you scratched your head, it meant that you had dandruff and needed the shampoo. Now, that might not be the route you want to go, but it was marketing genius. Chronic halitosis, right? So all of a sudden, everyone was concerned. You know, people have bad breath. But it became chronic halitosis, and there was a specific product that addressed chronic halitosis. You know, what is the value? Honor your integrity, and you can be really smart. There might be value that they don't even get as value, so what would it take to educate them or present that? You know, just know your, you know, look at this. So what are the channels? Do you partner with someone? Do you reach them directly? For example, you know, I just mentioned that daycare in terms of South Florida. Well, why does it matter to me if the port's grown? Because I have a small little daycare center here. Well, Is there bigger space that you can get? Do you want to absorb some? Can you work out a contract where you vet certain people? And if you could get the corporate contract, or that you like create a shuttle, go JV, where you create a shuttle system that meets the county's requirements for taking children to and fro, and you could bring it to the company and back, like not just value proposition, but then you're looking at ways to reach your customer. Who is your customer? Right. And then certainly there's the relationship. You know, you could have a transactional business and have people be incredibly and like be raving fans about you. And it's still a transactional business. That it's not necessarily it's a lifetime customer, but that you're serving, you know, just huge numbers. You want to think about our revenue streams. Basically, it's either this. It's either reoccurring sales or you're doing kind of one-up sales. Right? Is there something that you need, like if you've got this business model, is there something that you now need, a resource that you don't have in place? Whether it's intellectual property or it's capital goods like machinery, etc. And the other thing you want to check out is, now, what do you need to be doing? Who are the new suppliers and partners? What does this cost? What does this cost? Oh, my God, this is really cool, but there's some new things I'm considering. Now, this might be heavy. This might be intense. And some of you might be saying, you know, if you miss something, go back and listen to it. But this is really about your business model. How does your business make money? How does your business make money? You don't understand. We're fine. We're good. We're where we're going. We just need to get a larger segment of the population. You know, we've got this, you know, there's our restaurant and we serve people. Well, do you do special deliveries? Do you have special bundles? Do you meet the commuter train? Can people... is there a website or an app and people could put their orders and then you meet them at the train station and do a drop off with from the commuter? I don't know. But how do you make your money? How does your business make its money? And are you in a position to go up, or are you looking at a downward trend? So what's the point of all this? That there are so many reasons why we're in business. But without positive cash flow, without making money, then let's be real. It's a very expensive hobby. That's not what this is. And we're talking about business. And it's really key as a business owner to understand how your business makes money. How does it make its money? And or is it the smartest model for your product or service? Is it the smartest model for the consumer you're trying to reach? So in other words, think of an espresso. They were going after corporate, and then they went to the retail consumer. And when they went to the retail consumer, they segregated the approach. They sold the core product at a very nominal price. At a small margin, and then they made huge money on selling the refills, right? Think about it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, I think it was Mary Kay Ash who built a $1 billion company with no debt, went public, took it back private, and she had her business model before she had the product. This was not a woman looking to build a cosmetic company. She had her business model before she had the product. She just was looking for a product that would meet the integrity and needs of something that was kind of used and dispensable and disposable like toothpaste. So what is your business model? And can you say it simply? Can you, as Richard Branson put it, make the complex and say it pretty simply, and then step back and look at it and begin to play with it and brainstorm and create and see what you come up with on the other side? Is there an opportunity to tap into something that you haven't even put your foot. And there aren't, and I'm looking, we're talking about no landmines. All right. So for everyone, thank you so much for being a part of today's conversation, and love to hear your stories. Love to hear your stories. Please keep them coming. Your stories, your resources. And for everyone, make this week a moving forward week. See you next week.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Saban again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week. Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus drug discount card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALKRADIO to 96362.